Please call over choice.
All right. So, thank you so much for joining us here on the Art and Love podcast with Rodney and Nadia. So, we are the couple. No. And what is that? Why? We're just talking about our marriage, our parenting, our observations, whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. And we get to share it all with you, our Facebook family. And so occasionally we get to bring in some awesome, awesome people here on our podcast with us to share our and to add value to our show. And today we are so lucky, so excited. And we tried to prepare. We tried to prepare because this is a fit couple, okay? Yeah, we started in gym this week, last week. And, you know, we were on the elliptical. And everything, but we did not lose the 20 pounds, Joe. But these wonderful people, the Quants, are here on our show today. So, if they can just take it away and introduce ourselves from themselves.
Sure. You start.
All right. Well, my name is Ethan Quant, and
I'm Takel Quant.
And so we're Quants. Okay,
that
so,
is like bad.
I'm a business owner. I own two companies. I have a employee wellness programming consultancy and a media company. And I think would be.
You don't know what I do.
I know
what
you do, but then as
you can. I'm Takel Quant, also known as Bowflex Barbie. I'm the lead instructor and owner of Bowflex Barbie Fitness. And over the pandemic, I also started a second company called Branding Butterfly that does social media management and consulting for small businesses and personal brands.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Cool.
We definitely jump into those companies a little later because I love that. One thing, I don't know if I told you, Jim, but nobody told you, but I know one thing, yes, but I always admire how you guys work together in a business, so I'm glad to know that you know that me and Nadia has started our business venture, that's a plus, so you guys have been encouraging me, and I do that. Now, the fitness side, you guys, yes, I'm encouraging, because you encouraged me a little while ago, but now I'm trying to not take it, but definitely thought just about that, I know.
But before we even get into that, we know we have to hail our people who are in the comments and thank them so much for tuning in. So we have Ms. Celeste, we have Ray and Ashley. We want to say good evening to you guys and Alex. So if you want to add to the
I don't know why y'all get if y'all want to add to the conversation.
You know what it is? I'm trying to suck it in while we talk. Right. They didn't know I was jumping by now. Anyway, so if you just want to add to the conversation, all you have to do is drop a comment in the comments, and then we'll recognize it as well, okay? So let's get into the conversation because we are excited to get a little bit more information about what. Yeah, you good.
Just to go back to the box story, one of the things, especially if you heard Ethan speak, and I don't want to take too much of a story, but he has a fitness journey. He was probably my size, a little bigger. Now he's not. Ethan, tell us about that.
The thing is, I used to be 306 pounds. And so I remember back in 2011, I saw a picture of myself at a friend's wedding. And I was just like, wow. Like, I literally just looked like a basketball in glasses. And I suddenly became depressed. I was disgusted by how I looked. It didn't make me feel good. And at that point, I said, you know what? I'm going to get a six-pack. And that was the only thing that I knew. I knew that I wanted to get a six-pack. I didn't know how I was going to get it. I didn't know what I had to do. I just knew that I wanted to do it. So I went on Google and I said, how to get a six pack fast. And literally everything on the first three pages, I tried. And so I tried all of the fad diets. I tried, Weight Watchers. I tried Zone. I tried Atkins. I tried South Beach. I tried Slim Fast Diet. I tried Shakeology. I remember I even did there was this cabbage soup diet. Cabbage, boiled cabbage for 2 weeks. I tried that. All sorts of stuff. Mind you, I had some mild successes. I dropped about 60 pounds in my first round. But of course, one of the things about these fad diets is when you stop, the weight comes back. So the weight came back on with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. So I ballooned back up to about 292 pounds over a couple of months. And that's when I made the connection that really your body's reflection of your lifestyle. And so if you change your body, you really have to change your lifestyle. And that's what really started me on this process of lifestyle modification. And I just, it was tough. but over the next few months and years, I really was able to trim down to about 100. I lost about 10 pounds at my lowest weight. I became a competitive in 2019, I won the title of Miss Bahamas. And up until 2015, when I retired, I had the best body, the seventh best body in the Caribbean and Central America. And so, it's been a journey. I don't compete anymore, but I still, practice the bodybuilding lifestyle. I still prep my meals. I still eat on some sort of structure for the most part. And then I decided I wasn't banking. And so after I had my transformation, of course, a lot of people were asking me, what did I do? I could help. And so that's when I really made the switch into health and fitness. Started my fitness programming company back in 2013, and really have been doing that ever since in some way, shape, or form. We started out as Elite Fitness back in 2013, but in 2016, we rebranded because we want to focus more on wellness. And we keep developing solutions, and really just me trying to help as many people and get the message out to as many people that, you are unhappy with your body. You do have the power to build the body and the life that you want. And so through the programs that we do each, and even now with our television show, Let's Move, and both Let's Bob, Let's on Cable, that's really what the mission is. It's become my personal and professional mission, just to help people, Bahamians, get healthier, so they can live happier, more fulfilling lives. So that's my my story.
Pretty sorry, man.
Dekel, what would be your, I guess, origin story? How did you dive into fitness?
So my personal fitness journey started when I was 14. It was maybe about 2 or 3 months after my mom passed away from breast cancer. She had cancer about 10 years before she passed. And I just remember my brother was already in the gym. He was playing college basketball, and he kept trying to get my dad to come to the gym with him when he was home one summer, that same summer after she would have passed. And my dad finally agreed, and he also told me that you might as well tag along too. And when I went, I got hooked. I think for me, fitness, especially in that rough time in my life, fitness was an escape. It was an outlet. It wasn't so much about, I want to look a certain way, or I want this certain body. But for me, it was mostly, that emotional release. And it just got me into a really good place mentally after and while I was going through that and grieving the loss of my mom. So that's kind of where it started. I was in, I think, the 10th grade. And so I stuck with it straight through high school. My brother went back to college, obviously. He finished. And me and my dad, we would go every morning, sometimes twice a day. I would take my school uniform to the gym. I was committed. And it just became a part of my lifestyle from then. When I graduated, went to college, I played volleyball in college my first 2 years, but I still kept up with my own like fitness as well. And so while I was there, I noticed a lot of people just kept asking me, you know, like, can you train me? Can you help me? And then my dad actually had the idea after my brother would have opened Fitness Connection, which is now a supplement store. He got a lot of people asking when it first opened, they thought it was a gym.
Right.
And so my dad had the idea that when you come home from college, why don't you, on your break, why don't you do some type of fitness program? Since so many people are interested, we have the space in the front, we have the equipment already. Why don't you do it? And so I said, it's a cool idea. So I already had like the Twitter handle, Bowflex Barbie. One of my friends in college nicknamed me that. And so I thought, why not just call it Bowflex Barbie's Bootcamp? I did it. The first year I had about 30 people. The second summer I had like 90 people. And so I realized, you know, there was potential for it to grow, and I really enjoyed doing it. It was a lot of work, but I enjoyed it, and it kind of just blossomed from there. It started out as the boot camp, and then eventually turned into the Bowflex Barbie fitness brand.
You can beat as well. Why you support that?
Well, yeah, I do. So yeah, I do compete. I started competing when I graduated college in 2014. I graduated December 2014. I started competing July of 2015. It really was just for me. I was in the gym for so long. You know, I started at 14. So at this point, it was about, like, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years that I would have been in the gym already. So I just wanted a challenge. I wanted to feel like I was training for something. I already had this really solid foundation. People have been telling me for a while, like, oh, you should try it. You should try it. I already had really good discipline. I knew the training side of it. So it was just a matter of learning more of the competition diet and some of the other stuff. And so did my first show in July 2015. I won 2 national titles locally. I also won a gold medal at CAC that my very first year. That would have been September 2015. And as of recently, I did the Olympia Amateur in 2019 and 2020, I got a silver and a bronze at those competitions. So thank you. Yeah, so I'm still competing. Still, my goal is to get my pro card this year. So that's the plan. I'm shooting for a show in October. So I'll start training for that in June, beginning of June. So that's the plan. Going for my pro card in October.
All the best of that one, man.
Oh yes. Okay. So you right. So we have Tamika Dean who is in. That's Ethan. You know, your girl Tamika is in the house. So just to let you know. She says she's followed your journey all the way here. And so Chico's saying hello and Tamika's saying hello. So question, can you tell us your fairy tale story? How did you fit people find fit love?
Tell your version.
My version. So it actually happened. This is 2015. I was actually in Columbus, Ohio, because I was getting ready to compete at the Ironman. And I'm, you know, in my hotel room, just because when you're a couple days out of competition, you really have a lot of downtime. So you don't go anywhere because you want to conserve energy, but you also don't train. And so I was literally just laying in my hotel room, scrolling through Facebook, and then I saw this body. I was like, what? I mean, the most amazing body I've ever seen, right? I mean, she was wearing this, like, aqua teal bikini, mm-hmm. running on the beach, and it was just like a series of, obviously, the photo shoot. And so I saw the name, so I was like, because I know I didn't see it before. So I saw the name, and so I prepped in a DM and I was like, hey, I say, you are you Miko's sister? Mind you, I already
made the connection,
this, right? I mean, because I
did an investigation.
I did a bit of stalking on Facebook, so I saw that, you know, they were, you know, it's small and that's what they usually come. So I said, hey, are you Miko's sister? And she said, yeah. So we started the conversation. Yeah. And I was just waiting. I was literally just waiting. I said, I want that. And I waited for my opportunity to strike. And I strike. Okay. And I strike good. She is now my wife. That's not any. Okay. But yeah, no, I mean that's pretty much that's how it's gone.
Yeah, for the most part.
What's the rest of the story together?
that's pretty much it. His waiting was about a year. Yeah. So we stayed all like from Facebook. We met our first time actually meeting in person was at a show. I came over to Nassau for, I want to say Nationals, 2015 Nationals.
2015
Nationals. I came over for that. We met. I was not interested at all. So it took some time. He had to grow on me, you know.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. We officially started dating like March 2016. And we actually, our first trip together as a couple was when I competed at the Arnolds, which is where he messaged me on Facebook a year before. So he came, that trip he came just to support, and he was doing media with his company as well. So that was our first, that was my first show while dating him. And that would have been,
So the segue that now, so you guys are together, a lot of persons, they play together, they hang together, but they gotta work together. Scott does a of being able to not just have a partner in life, but a partner in business.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you, that was one of the first things, or one of the main things that attracted me to her was her work ethic.
After the blue bikini.
Yeah, after the blue bikini. All right. And you know, I'm a visual creature, so I see it twice, and then I still give it a look to see
what it's about,
else,
eh?
What else is there? You know? I gotta check that box. But I mean, one thing that I really did admire about her was the work ethic. Right? I'll never forget, we were on the phone. Because keep in mind that for the first the year of our relationship, or even during that year while I was waiting, like she lived in Freeport, I was living in Nassau, and so we only could communicate, you know, on the phone and stuff like that. And so I remember we had a conversation. We were just talking about, you know, business and branding and stuff like that. And so, you know, I made some suggestions, and I'll never forget, like, the next day she sent me a video of her, you know, updating this website, right? So I like that, because nobody does that, right? No, I mean, we talk about, we want things, and we get recommendations, but nobody really often takes the action, right?
And so, yeah,
the fact that she took the action, I was, like, really attracted to that. And then I actually did some work for her, right? Like, I had designed a logo for another brand that she was
doing. Okay.
And then she sent me a formal release. She was like, I need you to release so that you can come back after I decide that, you know, after I done blow this thing up.
I remember that.
Because I was like, that is gangster. Like, she ain't trying to play nice. She was like, I will make sure that you don't come back. You say you do this for me, I need you to officially release, sign this logo over to me. And I was like, I like that. Because that's something that I would do. Right? So, you know, the fact that she, even though we had that personal relationship that was developing, you know, the fact that she was still focused enough on the potential of the business growing, that she was like, hold on, I need to cover myself now. You know, that's, like, people don't think like that. And so that was something else that attracted me. So with all that said, I mean, I'm working with my equal now. I mean, she understands my work ethic, because I work a lot. And so she respects that. She lets me be me. But she also, I mean, she's a waiter. So you got two workers working together to help each individual in the unit excel in whatever they want to do. And then we have our goals that we're working together as a unit. I mean, it's just awesome, man. So it is really good. I love working with her. And the fact that we have four companies, between the two of us, so she has two, I have two, and then we have one together that
we just started one together.
And so now it's like, you know, it's just Gravy and all of our companies have done work
together. Yeah.
She cuts me checks. I cut her checks. And she has to go.
Listen. She sent me that invoice. Soak that my check, mate.
Hey, do you know that she sent me that invoices?
And you was asked for the invoices.
Yeah, but I was set up. You know, I got to pay them bills, boy.
Yeah, I think for us, like, for me at least, it was just the separation in the beginning that was hard. Like he said, he loves work. So yeah. We would literally be out on, like, a date night, and he would want to only talk about work. Or vice versa. Like, we'll be in the middle of something, meeting about, let's just say our wedding. We're planning our wedding. We'd be in the middle of our, like, wedding planning moment, and he'll talk about a job or, you know, something will come up, like it'll end up shifting from what it's supposed to be. We literally had to, I think what's worked best for us is scheduling, like when we're meeting on business, we schedule a time to meet on a specific business thing. Okay. If it's something personal or like in the relationship about our finances, something like that, we have to set that separate. When it was the wedding time, we had to set meetings for, okay, this is when we're going to talk just about that. So I think just finding that balance and how to separate the business and the personal, that was a bit of a challenge, I think, for us at first. But now I think once we did that, it became a lot more, more easy.
I think just like any other relationship, you know, communication is important.
Yeah.
It's been open and clear and honest communication. So we practice that in our personal relationship, you know, in our marriage as well as in our business. And it's what definitely, like you said, I'm all work all the time because I really do love what I do. And I love business, right? So any opportunity to just talk business, like, it's really what I love. But that's one thing that I can say that she did, because like she was like, okay, man, hold on, you need some time for some other stuff now.
Right.
I'll get excited. I'll be like, oh, maybe I got this. And she, this time was just so. I mean, I have been able to, with her, be able to disconnect. But I think a big part of that is that because she lets me be me, like I am all work. So, you know, I'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'll get to work. And so it isn't any. I don't get any flack for that. And so when she's like, okay, well, now it's time for us to not work. You know, I feel okay, you know, not working.
You don't feel good, you feel okay.
I feel okay.
Baby steps, progress.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she know our law, and she say, okay, well, what do you want to do, you know? I mean, but I feel a lot better disconnecting because she allows me to really go full throttle all the time in work.
I like that. Okay. So, not all work. There is play. There are date nights. So tell us how you incorporate fun into your relationship.
Fun.
Okay.
Making money is
fun. We, of course, the last year with, you know, the lockdowns and everything, it was a bit different. But even through that, we would try to have our date night at home. You know, so just something different than our regular week-to-week routine. So we do try to do at least two, like, set date nights, something. We'll either do, like, games and, like, games and food or some wine or something like that.
Yeah.
Watch a movie, pick out a movie. We try to do stuff like that. I love to travel, of course, over the last year. That's been something that we couldn't really do as much as we wanted to, but my idea of fun is also traveling. So I drag him all over the place.
See, this whole thing of travel in my life. Mind you, I thought I used to like travel, but she likes to travel.
Yeah, like, okay.
And I don't like to tell her no. And so when she has these ideas, like, oh, I want to go, I just be like, okay. You know, we just figure it out, right? But I would say that I've never traveled as much as I have since I met her.
Okay.
But I mean, it is a lot of fun. And, we do have, you know, like when I do disconnect and I allow myself to be in there, you know, it really is a lot of fun. She's like, go boy.
So
what was your favorite trip then?
So traveling, because I know I'm getting a travel number because we didn't travel as much. I think we went to Disney World 2018. So we went away 2018, 2019.
The gal is about to show out because she's like, let me tell you what I've been.
No.
We were able to go away last year and not before COVID, like literally weeks before COVID came on the side of the world. So the COVID really put a wrench in our traveling. Yeah. One thing is we're looking for some good places to go. What are some of the real like nice places you guys went to? Because I didn't know Florida. I know there's more than Florida. I would have known Florida. If I want to go venture further, give us some advice on some places where you guys went, where this is a place to be.
So actually, my first non-US trip was actually with Ethan. We went to Santo Domingo.
I had to expand around.
We went to Dominican Republic. But we actually honeymooned. For our honeymoon, we did Barcelona and Milan.
Yeah, so
and that was amazing. And I definitely want to go back to Barcelona. Ethan loved Milan. I loved Barcelona. It depends on what you like. I think for me, I like Barcelona because it was just so vibrant and like so much to do, so much to see, and like just beautiful. Ethan, like, I think he liked Milan because it was just a lot more laid back. He's more of like a stay in the room and chill more person.
But I really like, so the Barcelona trip was awesome. And so one of the things that we did was we stayed at this boutique hotel that was actually
a winery.
And so when we got there, we arranged like private wine tasting and stuff like that. But Barcelona was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But Barcelona is that's how you go with. So like I remember one night we did a food tour. So like Airbnb has they sponsored this. So there are these food tours. Right? So we did a food tour and it was like a tapas and wine tour and it was just awesome, man. So we hooked up, it was like, well, how much
Six of us,
and the tour guide. We literally went to a bunch of different spots, and then we went to Milan. Milan was awesome. One of the things that we do, no matter where in the world we go, Dekel has to find a Nike store and buy something out of the Nike store. And so we big time. We in Italy, we in Milan. Yeah. We had to go to the Nike store.
We did.
And we did.
Was it different? Like, was it different every...
A couple of things were different. Like, the style. I think, I would say 80% of it was the same. Maybe 20 was, like, stuff that I've not seen before, but...
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
No, but it was... I mean, it's a thing that, like, that we do. You know, like, she likes to shop. And I don't have a problem with shopping, but I only go shopping if I go in for something specific. Like, I don't just go wander around the mall. Like, we shop different, but she likes to shop. And the Nike outlet, that's just something I know. We got to find a Nike store wherever we are. And so that's one of the first things. And then one of the things that we also do when we go away is we find a sushi spot. And so no matter where in the world we go, we have to find a sushi spot so we get our sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man.
But definitely Barcelona, Milan, I think really good. I enjoyed San Diego too. When we went to San Diego. San Diego is nice. Venice Beach.
Yeah. California was
California. But these are fun.
I vote Barcelona. He votes Milan.
Yeah, I would say Milan. I'd say Lake
Como. Or both.
last year was good too. Lake Como.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Italy, you can't go wrong with Italy. Italy and Spain.
I text Nadia, the places you guys talk about, because I don't know what you're talking about. So I have to look these up later.
I'm all like, be a diet.
You can get a direct flight Barcelona. You can go direct from Miami. If you get to Miami, and like when we booked ours like a year in advance. We got our ticket from Miami to Barcelona for like $400. Yeah, round trip.
Because we relaxed not for you. We did that in January.
We did it in January for October.
Right.
Yeah.
You know we were going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like traveling is getting into. If one thing that we do because she competes, we normally have. So when we go away, our trips are planned around that many of it. So like
we stay a couple extra days.
Right, so we stay a couple extra days. So, you know, Dominican Republic, it was the same thing. Like
we stayed like 4 or 5 days.
A couple days after that. When we went to Vegas, it's the same thing. She competed in Vegas, she competed in Columbus. So,
oh, that's excellent.
Kind of just stay a couple of days in the place and we could, you know.
Yeah, get to enjoy it a bit. Right. Have a little vacation at the same time.
Yeah, then it's fun.
Listen, Indira saying, oh, wow, $400 was a great deal. Listen, let me get this vaccine and go.
And then once you get there, like our flight from there to Italy was like less than $200.
Yeah. And that was first class.
First class. they put you in the front of the plane. And you board first. That's the biggest difference.
Yeah. It was a good time. I've traveled a couple of places. You know, I've done Brazil, I've done China, but I always have a good time traveling with Mikael because we have a little routine, we have a system, and she knows that because I have an acute case of anxiety every time I travel, like just in general. Mm-hmm. She knows how to calm me down.
That's it.
Yeah, once I'm.
You're calm.
Cool. I just say, man, let's ride. Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah, yes, yeah. So Chico's there saying, power couple. Charnel is loving the conversation. Ricardo says, powerful as usual. I'm seeing a theme. It's power with you guys. It's power. You know? Mama's here saying she loves shopping. See? Listen, let me tell you about my mom. Mom had to open up a clothing store. That's how much she loves to shop. Honest to God. Exactly. So could you tell us a little bit more about what would be future planning for you guys?
But as it stands, like so we have, this is something that I think we kind of just recently formalized as far as we had general ideas of what we wanted to do as far as life, right? And I mean, like, but, you know, me very specifically, I had things very specific that I wanted to do, you know, personally and professionally. She has things very specific that she wanted to do personally and professionally. But as far as a unit, we had a general idea, but we didn't really put that structure and detail it out into an actionable plan. So that's actually something that came out of Asia, you know, because we had so much time to spend together. We was like, okay, well, we might as well plan life, right? So, interesting thing is we actually both started reading a lot more and getting into more books.
We got into audiobooks.
Audiobooks. We
actually listen to them while we work out, yeah.
Yeah. No, but really, like, so the audiobooks are really good. And we both listened to Total Money Makeover with Dave Ramsey. And there's something, you know, a good buddy of mine, Nathaniel Butler, he's a certified financial planner. You know, he's been telling me that for a while, but like, I should, you know, get in this system. So anyway, we listened to the book and we're like, you know, maybe we aren't as solid as we think we are with our plans as a unit. And so from that we like came up with a plan as far as how we want to really generate and create wealth for ourselves and our, you know, our family, right? And so we actually just recently started aggressively working that plan. And so, you know, that's why the fifth company started. Which is really going to be our investments and acquisitions vehicle, so that we could really just set up you know, set up the kind of life that we want. And I think that's it. So the idea is just to continue to grow the businesses. You know, I got to get back in fighting shape. I think I'm going back on the stage.
But I love his act. Okay, all
right. Fight my shit, bro.
But yeah, I think we you know, we just want to be in a position where we can afford the quality of life that we want, and really be able to afford to help as many people as we can with our resources, right? So the more resources we have, the more help and impact we can make. And that's really, I think, what the plan is, just to continue to grow, evolve, learn, and just add value to all of the relationships that we have, personally, professionally, and just make as big an impact as we can on the world.
World, Craig, the world, which I love it, man. But we have a lot of persons who listen, and whether they're currently together, or separated, or aspiring to be together. What kind of practical advice would you give them? You know, the same thing kind of idea you had, we're not in the place where we want. We don't know where to go, but we know for sure we're not where we want. What kind of practical advice or steps would you tell them to go to get towards that direction?
I would say, to first, like you said, acknowledge that you're not happy with where you are, and then decide whether you need to seek help from someone that's, you know, able to help you with their knowledge, with their expertise, or you come up with a plan on, and or do your own research on how, you know, how do I get from where I am now to where, or how do we get from where we are now to where we want to be? What's the best plan of action for this? Actually have that communication, have those difficult conversations, because I know sometimes for people, those, like, especially when it comes to financial or business, those conversations can be hard, depending on, you know, that person's relationship with those things or how they were brought up. I think all that plays a role in the psychological and even emotional connection to some of those topics. So I say have those hard conversations, let your partners feelings be valid, let them know that it's okay to have those feelings, but also, you know, if we are working together to be at where we want to be, that it's gonna take work and overcoming some of those obstacles together. So have a difficult conversations, create the action plan, find those targets to measure your progress towards that goal, and hold each other accountable. I think that's a big thing too. I feel like sometimes when you're doing something just for you, which for us, we were kind of like, you know, building our own brand, working together when it was time to, but for the most part, we were, you know, doing our own thing. But now that, you know, we have this thing together, now it forces me to, I feel like he's holding me accountable for this thing that we have together now. So I think that's a big part of, you know, being successful and moving from where you are to where you want to be, to having that supportive accountability, is a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, she said it good when she said, you know, like, if you aren't sure how to get where you want to be, like, get help. Like, I'm a firm believer, man, and you don't have to figure everything out on your own. There's literally a qualified professional for every area of your life.
That's true.
And so one of the things is that, because I mean, I've had my share of toxic relationships, and even before we got married, I was like, okay, well, you know, I know what I don't want in a relationship. I don't want the hiding. I don't want the sneaking around. I don't want the secrets. I don't want the lying. I don't want constant arguing, and like I didn't want that, because I know what that is. I know I don't want that, right? I wanted a healthy relationship. And so one of the things that we always said was that, hey, you know what, we want a healthy relationship. She's had a share of toxic relationships as well. And so we knew coming in that we wanted a healthy relationship.
Now, we didn't know exactly what that looked like.
Yeah. But one of the things that we did early on, especially when she moved, when she moved from Freeport, it was that we went to a relationship therapist. Like, so we went to somebody who specializes in relationship therapy. I could drop my boy. I don't know if I could drop his name. He's really the best.
Wow.
Harrison Thompson. Harrison, because when we moved, and the thing is, you know, people say, oh, you all have such a good relationship, but we had our issues early on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because when we moved, you know, it was just
the adjustment of the dynamic. Yeah. Like, we went a year, like, long distance. And so now, like, I have to share this space with you. And it was like,
right.
Hold up.
You're here all the time.
Yeah.
And so, but we had to learn to navigate that. And so I said, you know what?
Before this goes too south, yeah.
So she was like, okay, let's go. And so we went, and I said, yeah, boy, Harry can tell her everything she doing wrong. but then he called me out of my BS too, right? So it was like one of those things where, okay, well, you know, he gave us the tools and a solid foundation that we are still using today and that we're building upon, but it really gave you a toolkit that you can use to navigate the challenges of relationships, right? And I mean, it ain't like we don't have challenges in our relationship, but we now have tools and we're very equipped to work through those challenges together and in a loving way.
Yeah.
So that everybody is heard, everybody feels seen,
respected
and loved, and we know that we're moving forward as a unit, right? And so, like, I tell people, you know, if you have relationship challenges, like, you know, you gotta try to figure it out, and don't go listen to your family or your friends or
Sorry.
And keep your business to yourself. Keep professional health.
Yeah.
And just take your time, but and just be open and honest in your communication. And sometimes if I'm upset and she's like, we need to talk, and I like, I don't want to talk right now because I cannot respond in a loving manner. And so I would prefer for us to have this conversation later. And then she's like, okay. And then later, you know, we have the conversation and, you know, and then we just work through it.
I like that. Okay. One thing I think I keep hearing from you guys, and it just may be my interpretation of it, but I hear discipline. A lot of what you're saying takes a lot of discipline. It takes clear thinking. And I have a theory. Do you think that the discipline that you have applied in your fitness journey has translated to other areas of your life?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. But like I tell people, the principles of success are universal. And so if you have achieved success in any area of your life, you can achieve success in all areas of your life. Because it takes the same thing to be successful. The same thing that it takes to be successful in bodybuilding, which is discipline, commitment, drive, determination, consistency, are the same things that it takes to be successful in business. Discipline, drive, consistency, determination are the same things that it takes to be successful in a relationship. And so, really, I tell people that, you know, people say, even when it comes to fitness, people say, oh, well, you know, I'm not motivated, I'm not disciplined. It ain't that. Because you're an awesome father, you're an awesome employee, you're an awesome
brother. Right.
And so if you just take those same things that you do to be awesome in those areas, and apply it to whatever area that you're struggling in, success is guaranteed, man. But yeah, it does take discipline, but it's just like any other area, any other thing that you want to be successful at.
What do you all attribute your hunger for success?
She like things, and she like things.
So, me too!
Same reason. Yeah, I like to be able to get my own thing.
You know? Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. She's getting. See, I'll tell you this, right? I'll never forget. So I heard it somewhere. I can't even remember where it was. But somebody said, and this is the first time I heard of it when we started dating. Somebody said, "Don't fool with that girl." Unless you could do for her what her daddy
could do.
That's classic.
And her daddy could do a lot. My daddy is doing that. I love that. But I don't know if it's silly or what, but I think about that. And that's why I don't tell her no. Because I know, and being a father myself, you know, I know how I care for my daughter.
How hard it is to say no.
How hard it is to say no. I mean, so like when she say, like, and she could tell you, I tell you no.
No. Very rare.
You know, but I mean, but, you know, so when she says, and it ain't like, don't get me wrong, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, she's asking these crazy stuff because she isn't high maintenance at all. But, you know, if she says, okay, well, you know what, hey, I want to go on a trip. I need to make sure that I'm in a position to say, okay, well, yes, we can go on a trip because I ain't got to worry about where I get the money from or this, that, and next, you know. And so, like, that's something that really plays on me as far as being able to do, you know. I know her daddy can do it, you know. So I got it. And I mean, I got a ways to go before I hit Derek Nesbitt level, right?
Hey.
But I mean, you know, just having that idea or that target, right? To just say, okay, well, you know, I got to be the kind of man that, you know, can take care of his family. You know, and so that really is what, and take care of them on the level that I feel my family deserves to be taken care of. And I try. That's really what my motivation is.
So the kid. So whenever you are on the date night and just talking stuff with Edson's and he's not talking about business, that's why, because he wants to do those things for you. Now he's trying to think about how
no reason. How
he at these things and place them together. So that's the connection.
That's a connection.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, really, that's the only thing a man has to validate him as a man. You know, what can he do for his family, right? And so, you know, and I mean, and you know, my family extends beyond my wife and my daughter, right? Like, I want to be able to help those people that I care about on a level that, you know, I want to be able to be financially supportive as well as emotionally supportive. You know, I want to be able to say, hey, you want, because I mean, I didn't grow up with that.
I didn't grow up with that.
And so, you know, I want to be in a position where if I could give my daughter a leg up, you know, she doesn't have to worry about this, that, or the next, and try to figure out how she's going to get started. You know, if I could do that, I want to be able to do that kind of stuff more.
All right, there's a question in the comments. It comes from Chico. Chico said, there's lots of talk about success. How do you define success?
Us personally?
Yeah.
For me, I would say, I define success by being able to do what it is that I love, and making money from that, being able to support, and the money from that supporting the lifestyle that I want. And I also define success by how many lives am I able to positively impact along my journey. I think that's a big thing. Like for me, even the expansion of my team, my fitness team, from just me to now three other instructors, and even just finding other ways, like different platforms, the virtual platforms, online platforms, to help and reach more people versus just in-person training. I think we're put on this earth to help people, like, naturally. And so I think if we can successfully reach, like Ethan said, successfully reach as many people as we can, help them in whatever realm. So, like, even if that is through a business, through fitness, through whatever it is that we can add value to them in that space, I think that's also a big, at least for me, that's a big factor of success or determining factor.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, you know, success is really being happy doing what you do every day and making an impact value, right? I mean, and so that, and you know, that doesn't mean that, okay, well, in order for me to feel successful, I want to be a millionaire. It isn't like a quantitative number like that, right? But I think if I can wake up every day with the quality of life that I want for me and my family, and I'm happy doing the things necessary for me to maintain that, and I'm making an impact, for me, that's how I define success.
And you know, we ain't got much time left. I have not. Do the work. What does do the work mean to you? You read probably in your chest and you got my
friend us. Hey, all right.
And you know, this is like, so every year for the last couple of years, I've been coming up with like my yearly mantra, right? Like the thing that's going to drive me. And the reality is that a lot of people, especially in 2021, guys, a lot of people they're scared of the work. You know, the reality is that no matter what you want in life, you want to excel, you have to be prepared to do the work. And that's all it is. Like, I live it like we work consistently, and we work hard and we work long, but we ain't gonna never shy away from it, because you can't expect to have the body that you want or have the level of success in your business that you want, or have the relationship that you want, if you don't work at it. You know, anything great is going to require you to put in the work. So that's all that is. I mean, it's just something that, you know, that we live. You know, we live doing the work, and that's regardless of whatever area you're talking about. You want to be good. If you want to be great,
you have to do the work.
You have to do the work, and that's what.
So my cheat code in life is to do the work. One of the things people say doing the work is your body and motion to be considered as work. The KLS is awesome platform for my body's emotions. Called Morning Movement, of course, and things like that behind the scenes. And I see sometimes it's in front of the scenes. You've had the pleasure of sharing the sweats. These views sweat, Miguel was sweating.
She was not. I don't know. I decided like dying. And she's like, okay, let's go.
You guys, congratulations, are in season two, so congrats to that.
Yes.
Give us some background on how you even got started and then what it's about, how we can run it.
Yeah, okay. The show was really an idea. Like I said, that was born out of
pandemic.
Because one of the things was, I'm also a consultant with the Ministry of Health, right? So, and they asked me to revisit the National Development Plan with specific to the health plan, right? Like to reduce the obesity rate. One of the things that I had suggested in my recommendations was that we should have easy and ready access to qualified fitness programming, wellness education on a national level, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I submitted it to the government, and I don't know what they did with it. They didn't do anything. You know, I just gave my recommendations. And then I was thinking about it a couple of weeks after I did that, and I was like, you know what, I really should shop this around a couple of the networks.
Yeah.
It's a sound idea. So literally, we were playing with some stuff, came up with the idea for the name, and she didn't even like it at first, because it was Modern Moves with Both Black Bobby. She was like, I don't think that.
It wasn't the name. It was the first draft of the logo that you did that I didn't like.
Something.
It wasn't the name.
Anyway, so
like you know,
we shopped it around, and then Cable, you know, got it, and they were like, "Wow, you know, we really like this concept." We shot a pilot. They're like, "Wow, we really like the quality." And then we did a preview. We kind of beta tested in the market. And back in June 2020, and it went very well. And so they're like, yeah, we want to do this. And really, that's all it is. You know, it's together's an industry leader in the fitness industry in the Caribbean. And she is the Caribbean Queen of Fitness. And, you know, I'm a wellness expert. So we were like, hey, well, those are two components right there. Let's do it.
Yeah. Now,
my daughter actually composed the music. She did all original music for seasons 1 and 2. And so that's really a
project. Oh,
no. That's really a founding project. So for season 2, the strategy was, because we wanted to reach more people, we actually moved Morning Moves to the evening. And so we kind of did a slight rebrand. So it's now Let's Move. And it airs 6:30 PM on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And then the rebroadcast on mornings.
On the mornings, right. So, I mean, so, it's all consistent with our personal mission of just trying to help as many people as possible. And so one of the things is, too, with our guests that we have coming on the show, we want to show people at all different stages of their health, wellness, and fitness journey. And not just that stereotypical, in order for me to be healthy, I have to have a six-pack. You know, everybody is a work in progress, right? And so that's one of the things that we wanted our guests to reflect on. We had our couples, like you guys, we had single mothers, we had, athletes, we had trainers, we had kids. It was just a large cross-section of guests that we had on the show.
Yeah, you're gonna say something. I mean, it's really Ethan's project. He has all these great ideas. Like, he's not shy or not scarce when it comes to ideas. So when he told me the idea, I just was like, okay, cool. He asked me, we were shooting for my YouTube, and he asked me to just do a demo intro for Morning Moves. Like, I want to play around with it. I'm gonna send it as a sample. I was like, okay, fine. I did it. Yeah, and so when he got the green light, I just showed up. I was just a talent.
Well, I must.
We lost your audio a little bit, Rodney.
I didn't hear.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What Rodney was saying is that it was an awesome experience. Personally, just to be able to say I can drink out of the Morning Moves cup. Accomplishment is like a trophy for me. And we thank you so much for having us on your show. If persons want to reach out to you for your
media,
any fitness, one of the five businesses, wellness, can you drop links in the comments? Tell us how they can reach you.
Sure. So I am GoFlexBarbie.com. And I am also Branding Butterfly 242.com. Yeah. Our Instagrams are GoFlexBarbie and Ethan Kwan.
Well, I'm happy for you guys. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Always admire you, and the fact that you're all doing this stuff together now—that's cool, man. I really appreciate and respect that. You guys,
thank you.
Yeah, man, we are people in our network, like you guys, village. We've shown what you can do with discipline, communication, consistency, delegation. I mean, what's the excuse, right?
Right.
Now the trick is to apply that to fitness. Now that's. So he started. I told a friend of ours, I'm just tired of it. Last year showed me what you can do.
Yeah.
You put your mind to it. This being one of those things. And you said it really found success in other arenas. I'm going to buy success now. It may help my audience.
Yeah.
To be serious with it.
No, but I mean, the thing is that when you put it in the context of lifestyle, bro, it's like you got time. So one thing is, take time, do it right. You can take those small steps because you have time, but you want to be consistent because you ain't got time to waste. See what I'm saying? And so if you take the small steps every day consistently, you're going to get where you got to be. And just keep moving, right? But, y'all got it. Like, literally just make those small changes over time. You're
going to
get it.
Okay. So I guess we are coming up on to say on behalf of Rodney and I, thank you. Love Podcast. We want to thank you to everyone that stayed around, that shared, that commented. We really appreciate, everybody in the comments. If you want to catch us, if you want to catch this, you can catch this rebroadcast on our Facebook page. We have the Instagram, Our Love Podcast as well. The rebroadcast will also be on YouTube this week. Mm-hmm. And the audio is on all streaming platforms. Yes, to continue the conversation, if you have any questions, you can. One Clubhouse, yes. Jesus Lord, it's a lot happening. lot. Anyway, so there's going to be the parking lot conversation. There's a meeting after the meeting. So if you have an iPhone, I'm so sorry for anybody who has an Android, but they are beta testing the app and they're only able to accommodate iPhone users. That's what's happening. So if you're on Clubhouse, please, please join us so that we can just debrief and break it down, because there were some powerful gems that were dropped in this episode. And I just need another second, because I don't even think I adapted it the way that I needed to. So, you know, join us on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Where do you find it? Or do you search your name?
Once you look for our, type in Our Love Podcast.
Or
Hey Nads. Find me on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. I'm _ Hey Nads _. Nadia. Yeah, y'all can find me. But any final words you want to leave us with?
No, just thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I love, I really feel in this air, Nadia.
Yes! Thank you. Very good. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
No, man, thanks for the platform to share our story and our insights. And continue doing what you're doing. And everybody out there, do the work.
Do the work.
Yes,
that's it.
Do the work. Do the work. I love the do the work.
Okay. And until next time, Mark, you can end it out. All right, bye, guys.
Love you guys. See you guys. Bye. You're going on Clubhouse. We will see you
in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Surely.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This one is called Lover's Choice.